Buckle up. It's Joel Kane and Brian Fletcher driving you home. Drive with Joel and Fletch on SEN. Stop daydreaming and get ready to get back on the road. Search Hyundai, click to buy today.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Drive with Joel and Fletch. With thanks to Hyundai, stop daydreaming and get ready to get back on the road. Search Hyundai, click to buy today. That is the way to do that. We welcome our listeners, 1170 SEN in Sydney, 1620 SEN the Gold Coast, our listeners on the SEN app, our podcast listeners on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. The way to do that is to subscribe and you get it automatically into your feed. Coming up on today's show, former Seagull and Rooster ahead of this big clash tomorrow night, which is the Roosters taking on the Manly Seagulls in an elimination match, is a man who played for both teams, Jack Elsgood, a former Sexy Man of the League contestant was Jack Elsgood. Newly appointed Blues assistant coach Paul McGregor caught up with Jimmy. We have accidentally both booked him, so we're going to catch up with Mary again. So if you've got anything you want to ask the great man Mary McGregor, let us know. 1300 01 1170. You can text 0457 736 736. Shawnee Omrod, we are on the eve of the elimination finals. The winners go through to the prelim. He's going to give us an update thanks to Sportsbet from Market Update. Around the grounds, Nicky Davis. They've got the weekend off in the AFL as they head towards a nostalgic grand final at Optus Stadium over there in Perth. It is the Demons taking on the Western Bulldogs. Nicky Davis will give us an update for all things up there. Kazali, lucky callers, we have our special prize today for the best calls to win two double passes to the Sydney Ashes Test, two double passes to the Women's Ashes in Canberra, and that's all thanks to Cricket Australia. We appreciate their support. Go to ticketmaster.com.au and search Ashes Tickets. They are ready to go. So too is this man here. Brian Fletcher is back to 4 days a week from next week, which means Spudley is handing the baton to Fletch, whose horse went down only about an hour ago, ran second. So if you were following Fletchy's horse, looked to be the winner around the turn, just couldn't go past the winner, which was Jojo. And in the end, different strokes, run second. This man here, though, he's fired up. He's off the back fence. He's ready to rock and roll. Spud Carroll, good afternoon.
Oh, man. Yes, I got those details throughout the start of the week. This is my last show for myself and also a couple of my alter egos. But I must say I've had a blast. Thousands and thousands of listeners. I know you're going to miss me, but I've really enjoyed it. I love radio. I love getting my strange points across, and I can't wait for next year. I hope.
Is that a farewell speech you've written?
Yeah. No, otherwise I'm going to cry.
Get the Oscar music ready, giver.
I'm a tearful sort of guy. I remember I listened to my it's beautiful. I actually regards to my book, I got the audio book going, and every
Stop
night
the
I
clock,
listen to it.
6 minutes 20. Yeah. Book mention.
If everyone's got unders, you win.
No, and there's a story.
How's it going, the book?
It's going great. I think they're happy with it, considering no book launch. So. I'm hoping I can do a rerun, I suppose, at Christmas time. But there's one chapter there regards Sean Garlick, and he speaks about me as a teammate coming through and what I was like from the South days, and then I went to Manly and come back for South. And he always touches on I remember we went to Bali and someone said, Spud, do you want to say a few words? And I couldn't speak. I'm an emotional guy.
Yeah.
I might look hard and tough, but mate, I'm a softy. I did that cry watching bloody The Voice. Yeah. You know. Anyway. Move on.
That's good. How are you, Brooks?
I'm good. I was just thinking about that. I can't wait for the second book about his post-career in TV and radio. And hopefully we get a chapter in there, Joel.
That's right. Have you been going rogue on the socials in the last 24 hours?
No. You know what the funny thing about it is? You don't have to respond to that stuff. Our listeners have been amazing. There's been some great tweets and messages.
I'm not into Twitter, but I tapped on something. Did you get hammered by someone? Was it Rothfield?
Bring
it on.
Our listeners hammered.
I'm just a little bit talking about socials. I'm not really into socials, but flicking through and I've seen a male shot with no shirt on. I'm not really a fan of that.
Oh, was it Brooks?
There was two of them. Before and after.
Which one did you like, Spud? The sloppy one?
I'm not saying nothing, mate. Seriously.
No, it's all good. I'll give you a wrap, mate.
I think you're fantastic. So for any young lady out there, please look out.
How are you, Gibbo?
Yeah, g'day, Joel, boys. Oh, mate, I'm sort of sad,
really. You got a soft spot for Spud, haven't you?
I do, because this segment, look good, feel good, smell good. Now. Yeah. I think it was sort of aimed at me in a little way. So what he's gone through, excess sweating, bad breath, hemorrhoids, manscaping, body odour, tanning, hair dyeing, and manscaping times two.
Yeah.
Now, Spud, I'm still struggling with the ladies. So I don't know what's going on, mate.
You've turned him around, though, Spud. You've got
him
back on track.
I've turned him around, but no, he's a little special project, and I'll say the word special.
Yeah. An LSP.
You've given a battler a chance.
No, but my favourite thing about him is, like, an unbelievable worker. But he's passionate about what he does. Yeah. He's great at what he does. Hair looks fantastic. I'm always a big wrap of hair, but we'll work on a few things.
Beautiful. Brooks, what's doing?
Yeah, I watched a documentary last night, and I sent it around, and I thought you guys might like it. The Schumacher documentary.
Mm.
Man, that
is amazing.
Katie Brown
was sort of panning it a little bit.
Yeah, Katie doesn't know what she's talking about. This is a legit documentary. Mm. It is made so well behind the scenes, never before seen footage of events, crashes, massive moments in F1 history.
So is it a series or have you already finished it?
It's a two-hour documentary.
Right.
So it's sort of similar. I haven't seen it yet, but I believe it's similar to the Senna one that was done about Ayrton Senna's career. So a similar sort of, you know, success and then tragedy, obviously, with what's happened to Schumacher. Sorry about the spoiler alert if you don't know anything about Michael Schumacher.
Is he walking again, but?
He's been out of the public eye since the accident.
Yeah.
So we haven't really seen any of that. But we have Coulthard, we have Webber, you've got Eddie Irvine, who was his teammate at Ferrari initially when he went over from Benetton, the battle with Senna, the battle with Damon Hill, Jacques Villeneuve, they're all in it. It is an amazing documentary. The way they got everyone, they got his wife, his two kids, his father, his brother. It is comprehensive. It's not as big as The Last Dance, but it is definitely 2 hours of great TV, sports TV.
You talk about the spine. I reckon that would be a fantastic story. And we've got one here, John McLean, who got hit by a truck. I remember playing footy with him up there at Penrith. He got hit by a truck and ended up being a paraplegic.
Yeah.
Represented Australia. And the next thing, he's back walking again. He went and seen the doctor. The doctor looked at him and said, mate, I don't know why you're not walking. I don't know why you're not walking. He said, your spinal cord has been hit. It hasn't been severed. But the thing he had to do, and it's quite amazing, and it's a fantastic story, he had to get rid of everything. So he had to go on. Who hit him had to say, I forgive you. Clean the mind. Anyway, one particular time, you know, I used to go around and do some training with him, and he was on the three-wheel bike, and his arms like my legs, and I couldn't keep up. Anyway, he ended up representing Australia, and I remember coming back and from England, and it was a 60 Minutes, and it said John McLean walking, and I said to Monique, come have a look at this, and he was actually walking. I ended up doing a talk with him a couple of years ago, Joel, now, and I remember he came in on his wheelchair, and I went, oh, how you going, mate? He goes, yeah, have good days, have bad days. And he showed he's the only guy who's ever done the Hawaiian marathon.
Wow.
It took him 2 years to do it. The first time he's going up, he reckons he was going backwards up this hill, and his mate said, we've missed the cutoff time, but I don't care. I said, you get up that bloody hill. I said, I've had to miss my daughter's birthday because of you. Anyway, so then he came to stay the next year, got all the tires right, swam. He got through this unbelievable marathon, and that's it on the video. And then they go, next thing, John McLean. Next thing, he rolls back in his chair. I'm sitting there waiting for him to. He then stands up, looks around the room, and goes, that's better. Mate, I start bawling.
Wow.
And my mate's hit me, going, mate, you're up after this bloke. Next, I said, how can I beat that, mate?
So, very, very moving. Yeah, he was on a bicycle at the time, hit by a truck. You're absolutely right.
It'd be a fantastic. You talk about Schumacher, it'd be an unbelievable story because it's just, it's moving to see that what he did, like He changed sports. Like he went from, you know, he didn't sulk and carry on. He said, I'm going to go and represent. It is a moving experience.
Well, we've seen that determination earlier in the week with Mossy Massoy. Like told he'd probably not going to walk again. Oh, and then he walks out on the stadium.
How good was that?
It's over a year later. It's great. It's great seeing those stories.
What about his story? So that's one part of the story, but his upbringing. So this is John McLean.
Yeah.
Yep.
He's a former Paralympic a member of the Australian team as well. But what about, so if that wasn't hard enough, what about his upbringing? So he was the youngest of three. His parents had immigrated from Scotland. His mother had schizophrenia. So he was raised in foster homes. So she eventually committed suicide at the Gap when he was only four. He had an horrific upbringing. So he's competed in triathlons. And as you said, he's parked everything and moved along. So as you were watching Schumacher.
Yep.
I got dragged into a vortex of a show that I'd never, ever watched. I've never watched it beforehand. Love Island.
Oh.
I found it fascinating. The social experiment, you've got all these, yeah, they're all good looking, you know, the men, the girls, they're all good looking people. You can clearly see that. And the mixing and the matching and and they drag extra people in. So all of a sudden, everyone's a happy couple.
Yes.
Then two extra girls come in. But spanners, talking about spanners in the works, right? So what they had to do, they had this briefcase come out and they'd read out a quote, right? So they'd say, blah, 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 blah. And then they'd have to guess which bloke said it. So one of them said, has slept with 106 people. And I immediately said to Kobe, my wife, I said, what an A-grade. Why would he put that on there, right? Yep. So eventually this bloke called Matt, the partner, finds out he slept with 106 people. So he's obviously done that to pep himself up and boast and carry on, but it's backfired. So I've done some research, boys. The average amount of partners, what would you say the average amount of partners people have had? I've done some research.
I'm going to say 14.
14?
Average,
What do you reckon, Gibbo?
10?
10? Spud. Average amount of partners that people have had.
I'll go single figures.
Single figures.
Which one?
Seven.
You're exactly right. Well, you're exactly right. So that is the case. So the average amount of partners people have had is seven, right?
Yep.
They say that men tend to over-exaggerate and say a high number.
Yeah.
Women tend to under-exaggerate and say a lower number, right? Yeah. So, yes, Gibbo?
Is a partner just like a long-term relationship or?
No, sexual just, partner.
Oh, so any sort
hot,
of.
Hot and heavy levy.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So seven's the average, right?
Oh, no.
We don't need to know your numbers, Gibbo. But they say that people can get turned off if it's too high. They can also get turned off if it's too low. So if anyone's had two or less, they say that's a turn off. If anyone's had 15 or more, they say that's a turn off. But what about the, and this is a study done by the states, UK average seven, America average seven as well. In Louisiana, they average 15.
Ooh.
In Utah, they average two.
Yeah.
So a big church community.
Mormons, yeah.
In Utah. So that drags the number down.
So what is the Goldilocks? Like, what is the just right? Like,
well, seven
what is
by
it?
The sounds of it.
So, no, but like, is that the number? Like, that's the average. But what's the socially acceptable average?
I think everyone, less the better, isn't it? That's what you want.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Brooksy, do you see this on some, do you know when you go on a Hinge date or Tinder date?
Yeah.
They'll ask you, oh, how many dates have you been on this app? And you always have to say, oh, this is my first one.
Yeah, and they sort of they try and work out your past with a couple of questions. They go, so how many long-term relationships you been in?
None.
Yeah. Oh, just the one real big one.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, it didn't work out. Then so they can't garner any, you know, like, that's the crazy thing.
Secrets.
Yeah.
Have you found since you put your new body up, we want to see, have you changed your profile as well? Like, you know, eating more like a, you know, vegan, all this stuff to make them.
What, like salads, cucumbers, and like that sort of stuff.
And every second word's like. Every second word's like. Like. Oh,
I already say that.
You'd go good on one of those shows if you were single back in the day, Spud, the Love Island.
Oh.
It's fascinating. Yeah. It is. The wife said, just watch 10 minutes of it. Yeah. I went, nah, not my go, darling. And I watched about five episodes.
And you're in. You're hooked.
Oh, I just love the egos getting smattered.
But you can tell the blokes of this, they've timed their run to perfection.
Yeah.
You know, on opening day scene, boom, there's not. There's
oh,
more,
they're super
there's,
fit.
There's more fat than a chip.
Yeah, they're super fit.
Yeah, they're primed for it. There's a routine prior to going on these shows, surely. You get tipped off. You got 6 months, you know.
Do you reckon,
just work on that rig.
Tipped off. We're talking about that show. SAS, not SEN, 1170. SAS. That they would have said on in a couple of episodes, you're going to have to get the strip down to your grundies, right?
Yeah.
Because they'd said the first episode, a girl with the puffed up lips. What was her name? Brie or something?
Brie Edelston.
Seriously, mate, she had the worst bra on and a G banger. A couple of girls had a G banger.
Oh.
And then they've sort of said, "Oh, I can't believe I wore the wrong bra." Mate, you knew the rules.
Yeah.
Like, seriously.
Yeah.
But, yeah, a few of the blokes, they knew.
If you've seen the show before, you probably.
Oh, mate, the show's fantastic. Yeah. But, you know, just little things like that get under my skin. But the blokes also, Yeah, they've all been sponsored by, you know, they've had a few of their names on their undies or the, whatever they call them, the Grundies.
The Budgie Smugglers? Yeah,
We actually caught up with Ollie Ollerton early in the week. So if you wish to catch up on that, that's on the podcast, Spotify, Wooshka, however you like to do that. That's the way to do that. 1300 01 1170, by the way, is your Ryko Fielders hotline. But just getting back to the Love Island show, right, and don't knock it till you try it. It's actually fascinating seeing, and if you're a battler like us, right, it's fascinating seeing very, very good-looking blokes, a bit of insecurity. You know, it's good to see them. I'll tell you what I found that I'm very, very bad at is all the girls fall in love with this particular bloke called Owen, right? And I wouldn't have picked it. Like, I can't pick what the opposite sex thinks are very attractive. I wouldn't have picked him to be a good-looking bloke.
What are some of the characteristics that Owen has, just for me and Gibbo?
Well, he's got a bit of dash. He's got a bit of dash.
Oh, okay. Damn it.
Cash or dash?
Dash. A bit,
no. Bob.
He's an Irishman.
Oh, accent.
Okay. It's very, very fascinating. I've enjoyed it.
You've got to watch the Aussie version as well, Joel.
I think that's what it was.
Oh, you watched the Aussie one?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, yeah.
So have you watched that one?
Yeah, oh, I think I've
seen Owen.
I saw the season before. Right. They're all Aussies.
Why can't we get the big fella starting there?
We could.
Oh, that'd be great.
Now that you've got the grooming on him, I think he'd be ready to go.
You're my project.
Well, Spide, mate, you said that I wouldn't be able to come over to your house because of things. When is that going to change?
It still is the same rules. The same rules.
Plenty more still coming up, including look good, smell good, feel good. That's the way to do that.
2 hours, 40 minutes to go.
1300 01 1170 to have your say on the Ryko Fielders hotline. A break and back with more.